Welcome to Invitations to Play, Learn, Grow, the podcast. I am your creative solutions creator and professional mess maker. This week, I wanted to do a loose parts boredom buster episode for you. We have been talking about spring. And as I sit here recording this episode for you, I am noticing all of the things around me that have changed. I'm noticing flowers are in bloom, animals are coming more active, I see birds chirping, and starting to gather materials for nests. I see the squirrels running around, and to be honest, they run around all of the time, but I'm sure that their mission is different today than it was a couple of months ago. I'm noticing that the grass is growing. The plants are turning green that will eventually grow big and strong that will produce food. Things like raspberries and chives and mint and all kinds of different food type plants. These are changes that occur only in the spring. As the weather gets warmer and the sun is out more and more, I get very excited about this time of year, and over the years, I always worked really hard to get the kids that I was working with, usually then in a classroom setting, just as excited about the changes that were occurring, and I used those changes to get them equally as excited about new learning and skill building opportunities. So I wanted to give you some examples of loose parts that you could use to explore some of the topics we've talked about over the last couple of weeks. And then I wanted to get into a couple of activities that tie all of this together that I used again and again and again because they're versatile and they're able to be renewed and made a new fun experience each and every time. So again, going back to some of those things that I described as I look around where I'm at, and I see countless loose parts. Everything from dandelions to dry leaves to twigs to bugs themselves. I see tools that I've used to do some work outside. All of these things are loose parts that can spark interest in a learning experience. So I see a green version of what I call a helicopter, which is two leaves that are connected at the bottom. And if you actually look at them, they look like angel wings, but when they fall from the trees, they spin and sputter like a helicopter. So that is, and I just got knocked in the head by another loose part. A bud that was ready to fall off the maple tree that I am sitting underneath. And it literally fell off its branch and I felt it hit me in the head. All of these things are loose parts that can spark a kid's curiosity to learn more. What are these things? What purpose do they serve? What is their function in nature? What can I turn them into? These are some of the fun questions that you can ask before starting an activity to begin a deeper conversation around loose parts and learning, in this case, about nature. As the weather gets warmer, you'll probably find things like pine cones and flowers and seeds. Which, actually, a pine cone is a seed. You might find acorns or pieces of a vine. Or, as I said a few minutes ago, food, fruit, vegetables that actually mature and are able to be eaten. I'm looking at raspberry plants that don't yet have raspberries but eventually will. All of these things can be loose parts that can also be an invitation, which is something that I've talked about in years past as well, that can be an invitation to learn more. What can you do with raspberries once they're ripe? What can you do with tulip petals? What can you do with an acorn? Or the helicopter that I described, or the bud from the maple tree that fell and hit me in the head. What can you turn those things into? And depending on the age and the skill level of the kids in your life, they'll come up with all kinds of creative, fun experiences. Some might choose to cook with these loose parts and turn them into quote-unquote food that I hope that they wouldn't actually eat, but that they can build play experiences around. I know I used to do that a lot as a kid. You can use feathers as loose parts. You can use eggshells, if you're lucky enough to find them, as loose parts. I see a lot of birds, but I don't generally see a lot of feathers or a lot of eggshells. Eggshells would be something really cool to find. Now, if you live in a different climate, perhaps you live in a beachy area, you're gonna find different spring-oriented loose parts. You might find seashells, or fish bones, or crab shells. All of these are really fun loose parts as well. And that actually is a great gateway into one of the invitation examples I wanted to give, which is show and tell. Show and tell is a fun game or experience for kids of all ages, and you learn lots of fun information about objects that different people find. And if you're lucky, not everybody is going to find the same parts. So I gave those examples. When you do a show and tell, and if you are doing school still virtual or semi-virtual, you can still engage in really fun show and tell experiences. What you can do is you can combine a couple of activities together, which would create kind of a long-term project. You can say, all right, on day one, we're going to sit down as a group, maybe over some sort of a virtual call, and we're going to create a scavenger hunt list. And again, the things you put on that scavenger hunt list are going to be different depending on the type of area you live in. When I started this episode, I gave a bunch of foresty type examples of things that I was looking at from the environment that I'm in. I then gave a bunch of examples of things you would find if you were in more of a beachy environment or close to some body of water. You could combine these things as a part of your scavenger hunt list. And you could actually call this activity, you could make it one big activity and call it a scavenger hunt show and tell. So you could come up with the clues to find the different items on your scavenger hunt list, give some suggestions as to where people might look, or some clues as to what they're actually looking for, or some things that would qualify as the category that you're giving as part of your scavenger hunt. Then you can come back to your live meeting on a different day or a different time frame of the same day and do a show and tell. You can each take a turn talking about where you did your scavenger hunting. I went to a city park. I went to a local beach. I walked through my neighborhood. Whatever resource you had available to look for your items on your list. And then you can tell little stories about the things that you actually found. So if one of the clues on your scavenger hunt list was, I am something blue, you might have found a bluebird feather or a blue eggshell, or you might have found a blue paint chip or a blue of my favorite things that I still like to go to the beach and actually look for. You might have found a piece of blue, what I call sea glass, which is literally a piece of glass that has been smoothed by the waves of the lake. They're very rare to find, and it's a fun activity to do at the beach that is actually, I find, very calming, because you have to sift through the sand and you find all kinds of other cool fossils and seashells and fun beach treasures, all of which could be a part of your scavenger hunt. And so you could tell little stories about the adventure that you went on to find each piece on your list. Then you could discuss ideas of what you could turn those items into so that you could, in a sense, recycle them. Then you could take the items from your scavenger hunt and play another game that I enjoy playing with kids of all ages and all skill levels. It's a game called What Am I? Now, this one would be a little bit more difficult to play virtually because you can't feel the items, which is, when you're in person, part of the game. You put an object in a container that is sealed. You offer a way to put your hand in the container, feel the object. You give the player a clue, and they have to guess, what am I? Now, you can do a non-tactile version where you can give clues, kind of like I Spy, but you don't have to be in the same space with the objects because you have to use your critical thinking skills to think of the clues and think of an object that coincides with those clues. Now, you might want to write down your answer before you begin or collect pictures of the item that you're going to describe so that nobody can do a switcheroo with their answers. Finally, you can create obstacle courses together. And you can create an obstacle course around things associated with spring. You can create an obstacle course that allows you to work through a challenge to obtain items or to practice a skill as a spring animal. So you might have to crawl 10 paces as a bear, or fly or flap your wings 10 times as a bird in a particular direction. So this engages listening skills. So you could give challenges like, as a bear, you need to take 10 bear steps to get over this hump. Or give little physical activities that work you from going from point A to point B. And then you can add in prompts like the one that I just gave. So as a bear, you need to make 10 paces straight, 2 paces to the left, and 4 paces forward to come to a oak tree that has your meal for the day sitting at the top. How will you reach your meal? Show us. And you can simplify this example because the one that I gave is a little bit complicated, but it's a good example of an activity that you can combine groups of kids together to work as a team to accomplish a goal. So another example could be, if you were a bird, what steps would you take and materials would you use to build a nest? What is your first step? What is your second step? What is your third step? Think about the process and then create stations for each of those steps, and then have the kids go through them only using the physical capabilities that a bird has. so they can't use their fingers as an individual fingers necessarily. They might have to use a full hand grasp. These are fun ways to practice motor skills. It can get complicated because you could take on the persona of a raccoon. Where does a raccoon live? How would a raccoon build a home? How does a raccoon move from place to place? Learning that information, then you could set up a challenge for the kids to carry out as that animal. And they have to move how that animal would move. So if that animal can only squirm on the ground, then that's all they can do. Or if that animal only gets around by hopping on four legs close to the ground, that's all you can do. This requires research, it requires engaging different skills, and it requires some creativity to take on different personas of what it would be like to be different spring animals. Now, you can do this as insects as well, or reptiles, everything from a lizard to a snake to a bumblebee to a butterfly. Those things can be fun too, because you can ask questions like, how would a butterfly build their home? So those are four boredom busters that you can use as you dive into your spring exploration. I hope that you were inspired by these activities, and I hope it will encourage you to have lots of outdoor fun and learning experiences. We also talked in the last few episodes about spring weather. And I actually am experiencing a little bit of spring weather right now. I'm outside, and when I started this episode, the sky was blue, the clouds were big and fluffy, and the sun was out. And just a second ago, we had a little drizzle of rain and the sun went away. So you can take these ideas and you can play a weather-themed What Am I game. You can create a weather-themed obstacle course where perhaps the children become a particular form of weather. So they would go through the obstacle course as a snowflake, as a tornado, as a hurricane, as an earthquake. Oh my goodness, I hope you do that kind of an obstacle course outside. I would not want a hurricane going through my house. You could do a weather-themed scavenger hunt, and you could certainly do a very fun weather-themed show and tell as well. Before we round out this week's episode, I do want to invite you to join me on Wednesday from 11 a.m. to noon. I do a free virtual event called a meet and greet, where groups of us get together virtually online and we discuss different topics each week that pertain to development and skill building. And we share creative ideas and thoughts on these different interesting education-based topics. You can find more information about that experience at thecreativecampusonline.com. I hope you will join us. I love to meet new people and learn from new people that I get to meet as much as I hope that people enjoy learning from me. So thank you for joining me this week. I hope you'll come back next time. And I hope you have a wonderful week. Until then, I'll talk to you soon.